everyone, and welcome to Qualitative Conversations, a podcast series hosted by the Qualitative Research Special Interest Group of the American Education Research Association. I'm Bowden Robertson, the guest host for this episode on mentorship, and I'm very excited today to be joined by Dr. Kelly Guyot and Carlson Kugler, who have been gracious enough to lend their time and support to our QRSIG podcast episode. We'll start with introductions from our guests, and then the guests will interview each other about the QRSIG mentoring program and their experience.
Thank you, Bowden. It's a pleasure to be here today. My name is Kelly Guyot. I am an associate professor of qualitative research at the University of Alabama. I am also currently serving as the chair of the mentoring committee in the QRSIG. I have the immense pleasure of also working with Carlson. She is a student in our program, our educational research program, with a specialization in qualitative research. And I'll turn things over to you, Carlson, so you can introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, I'm Carlson Kugler. I'm at the University of Alabama. As was just said, I'm a doctoral candidate in educational research. I'm also the chair of the graduate student committee for the QRSIG. And Dr. Guy, as she mentioned, is my wonderful, lovely advisor, professor, co-teacher, and mentor. So I'm very excited to do this with her. So I guess I'll go ahead and start asking you questions. So tell me about your experience with the QRSIG mentoring program. What do you do, have done? What does it look like?
Yeah, I looked this up recently because I wasn't sure how long I'd actually been on this committee, and it's been a long time. I actually joined the mentoring committee in 2016. And so I started off as a committee member. I was vice chair of the committee in 2018. And then since 2019, I've been serving as chair of the mentoring committee. And so during that time, I have done a lot of things behind the scenes. So that's mostly where my participation and support has been directed. So in terms of planning and organizing our various initiatives, I have also stepped in as needed to serve as a mentor for things such as the proposal forum, which I think we're going to talk a little bit about, as well as the mentoring session. But really, a lot of the work that I've done has been helping to make sure these initiatives happen, and now as a chair, really supporting the committee members to make sure that we can continue to support our QRSIG membership. And I'm actually, this is going to sound silly, but I'm looking forward to rolling off as chair, because one thing that I really want to do and look forward to do is become more of a mentor in the QRSIG. So it's been really fun to plan and to be behind the scenes, but I really value mentorship. And so I'm looking forward to being able to put myself out there a little bit more and support our various members who are seeking participation in our various initiatives.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what does the QRSIG mentoring do? What kind of a help or assistance is available for students or for early career faculty?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We have three primary initiatives that we undertake as part of the QRSIG. So our first one is called Proposal Forum. And Proposal Forum happens before AERA submissions are due every year. Proposal Forum is an opportunity for graduate students, for postdocs, and for early career faculty who are submitting to AERA maybe for the first time or the second time, who would like to get some feedback on their proposals. And we'll usually send an email out sometime end of May, early June, or something like that. And we'll ask for folks who want to participate in that. Then we will seek mentors that will be willing to read those proposals. And then we do some matching, there's some matching that happens. And then the folks who are seeking feedback will submit their proposals, which will be read by the mentors. And then the idea is that we're really helping these early career and emerging scholars to get great feedback and to really submit high quality submissions that have a high likelihood of getting accepted into the QRSIG program. Our second initiative is the mentoring session. And this is one that I think is one of our more popular ones. A lot of people have heard of it because it actually shows up on the AERA program. This one is geared toward graduate students and postdocs. And I think you're actually participating this year in that, right, Carlson?
Yes, I am. I'm really excited about it.
Great. The mentoring session, like I said, it happens during the AERA annual meeting. this is an opportunity for folks to get together. Thankfully, we're going to be back face-to-face this year, which we're really excited about. We ran it virtually last year, and it actually ended up being really lovely in a virtual setting as well. But typically what happens is folks come together, they get an opportunity to chat with one another, to talk a little bit about what we call, quote-unquote, areas of stuckness. So where are folks stuck methodologically? And so we invite senior scholars and folks who have experience in this type of thing and have wisdom that they can share and to serve as a support for these folks during the session. That actually happens during the AERA meeting. And then the final initiative is our office hours initiative. And so we've actually recently opened this up so that it caters to a lot of different types of scholars. So we have it open toward graduate students. So all of our initiatives are open to graduate students, postdoc, and faculty at any stage. So the idea here is that anyone who feels like they need mentorship can participate in this program. And if you're part of the QRSIG, you may have seen the emails have gone out quite recently on this one. This used to be a face-to-face meeting that happened at AERA, but we've since moved that to be more virtual. Although people who are attending AERA, of course, could meet face-to-face. But these are typically one-on-one meetings, and they're, you know, about half an hour in length. We call it office hours because it is, if you're a graduate student, your professor's office during office hours, you're having a short one-on-one meeting, getting some really good focused feedback from them. And then sometimes these relationships continue to evolve and people stay connected after that. And then sometimes it's a one-off thing, but regardless, it's a great way to get some feedback on things that are going on with you methodologically.
That's awesome. I have experienced or am going to be experiencing all three of those. So it's nice to hear it described like that. You described some of this in your last answer, but is there anything you'd like to add about the process about like how mentors or mentees sign up?
Yeah. We always submit our calls through the QRSIG listserv. And so if you're interested in participating in any of our initiatives, become a member of the QRSIG. And that way you can get these emails and get information about all of our initiatives. You may also have professors or colleagues who are members, and they may be willing to pass along the information to you. But the QRSIG is typically how we share that information.
How are mentees matched to mentors?
That is also a really good question. So I am just one of a team. We have a big committee of folks that work together on all of these initiatives, and they work really hard on the matching part. So typically we try to design our forms and our surveys that we send out so that we can get information that will be helpful for us to match our mentees and our mentors in a way that's meaningful. So for instance, we may ask for things like methodological areas of interest, areas that you're working in, or we may ask things to the nature of theory. What are the theories that you're working with? And then oftentimes we have started to ask for specific mentors that folks would like to work with. And so we take all of these suggestions and all of this information, and we just have really smart people that are dedicated to making sure that these pairs and these collaborations are meaningful and thoughtfully designed and constructed. A lot of the behind the scenes work that we do as a committee is the matching. That really tends to take a lot of our time. And we just really try to make sure that people are paired with the types of folks that they're wanting, and that we allow or we cultivate methodological and theoretical fit.
Definitely experienced that methodological and theoretical fit and how I've been matched. So I really appreciate that. What does a typical session, meeting, meetup between mentor and mentee look like?
So that depends. And I mentioned all three of our initiatives, and I think I may have talked a little bit about this, but just to be really concise and straightforward with your answer, with a proposal forum, the connection is purely through email. It's all virtual. They're encouraged if they want to, they could meet up and do a Zoom or something like that. But typically it's just the mentee emails the proposal to the mentor, reviews it, emails back feedback. So it's typically email and asynchronous. The mentoring session, as I mentioned, happens at the AERA annual meeting. And so during that, typically what we do is we do some speed dating type activities. We'll then divide into small groups and big groups, and it becomes highly dialogic. And then office hours, like I said, it can happen either through the AERA annual meeting or it can be virtual. And it's up to half an hour for one-on-one or group sessions. And typically the mentee will come in with some very specific questions and some very specific topics that they want to discuss. And then again, it becomes very collaborative and dialogic.
What are the future directions for the mentoring group?
This is actually my last year as the chair, but I will stay on the committee. So they can't get rid of me too easily here. What I would love to see is I would love to see us continuing to find ways to support all of the membership of the QRSIG through mentoring is something that I would really love to see our committee take up.
That sounds really important to me. I think that's really awesome. And you are doing such a great job right now with graduate students and early career faculty. So I'm excited to see that develop. What else would you like to share about the group that didn't get covered?
I'll just elaborate a little bit. We have a really active and robust committee of folks. Some of the people on this committee have been part of the group almost as long or as long as I have. So we have people that have been serving for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And so these folks are just really committed to mentorship and really value mentorship. When you see those emails that come out, just know that there's this group that's behind them and they're working really hard. Everything we do really takes team effort. And we have just a group of wonderful scholars behind it that are making sure that things happen and that we're doing what we can to truly support those this SIG that feel like they need mentorship. So I have some questions for you, Carlson. I know that you mentioned as well earlier that you are experiencing some mentorship by the QRSIG committee and then the mentoring committee. So can you tell me a little bit about your previous experiences as a QRSIG?
Yeah. So this will be my third year of participating in some way or another with the mentoring initiatives. So in 2020, I did an adapted version of the mentoring session that was virtual because of the pandemic on Limits of Stuckness. And it was like via Flipgrid. It was really neat the way that y'all set it up. And I was the person who responded to my video was Dr. Wolgamuth. And then in 2021, I did the office hours and the ARA proposal forum mentoring and happened to be paired with the same person at times. And that was Dr. Nordstrom. And then in 2022, I have the office hours and mentoring that are coming up. And I'm really excited to see how that goes.
So thinking back about your experiences as a mentee, what do you think has gone particularly well? You speak very positively of your experience. I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit.
Yeah, there's really a lot that has gone very well. I think matching has been really excellent, that y'all have been very thoughtful and you have done a really great job of communicating what it's supposed to look like and how the expectations, et cetera, and the matching and the communication has been really nice. The mentors that I've had, Dr. Wolgamuth and Dr. Nordstrom, have been like very thoughtful and giving. For example, like Dr. Wolgamuth answered my practical side of my moment of stuckness, but also pointed out and problematized an assumption in my thinking. And that's been really helpful as I've like moved forward in thinking about the relationships between epistemologies, methodologies, disciplines, et cetera. It's like a seed that stayed with me. And very similarly, Dr. Nordstrom gave me really great and very practical feedback on my proposal. Like, for example, she's, I should know by the end of the first paragraph what your proposal is about. And she didn't, because I needed to make it more clear. And so that was very helpful. But then also she gave me some suggestions about people to read as I was struggling with the ideas. And that was really helpful. And actually thinking through what she provided has resulted in my first single authored publication, which is really exciting. So I'm very thankful for that. So I guess what I'd say is that what went well was, I guess it resulted from coming with questions of stuckness and being open to how the professors would answer it. And they did a really good job because I also did that with office hours too. And then asking questions that allowed us to move back and forth between the practical and the more like conceptual.
That's really exciting to hear that you had a publication come out of your mentoring committee interactions. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And also out of your class as well. It's been a combination of all kinds of mentoring, but it would not have happened without all these intersections. So yeah, I'm thankful for the opportunities.
That's fantastic. So since you're now a very experienced mentee, What would you want to share to other folks who are listening who may be thinking about becoming a mentee in one of these initiatives? What would you suggest that they know before signing up and or meeting with their mentor? How might they prepare?
I think for sure, be engaged, come with questions, make notes, reflect on the process afterward. And as I said before, I think it's important to ask both about practical and idea-oriented stuff, to not be one camp there. But also, I think something that's been really helpful for me is realizing this isn't a performance. Like, I'm not worried, like, to try not to be worried about impressing the other person. Like, when it's our professor, a lot of times, we're expressing our knowledge, but stuckness, for example, can still be productive. Not knowing can be productive. And so it's okay that you don't know the answers to your questions. That's why you're seeking mentorship.
Yes, that's excellent advice. I hope the folks heard that because sometimes it feels like even to get mentorship, we have to have some answers, but really that stuckness and those tensions and those struggles can be really productive, even if they're unresolved by the end of an interaction. Sometimes those interactions can linger with us and affect in really profound ways.
Yes, I would say that all of mine have been unresolved still, or it's been pushing me in a different direction, a way to approach my question of stuckness from a different angle that's ultimately been really helpful in helping me work out where I am, but it's not been fully resolved. So,
yeah. You mentioned this in your introduction, but you are this year, you're serving on the QRSIG Graduate Student Committee, and I believe you're the chair of that committee. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about your role?
Yeah, this is my second year on the committee, my first year being the chair. So basically what I do, similar to what you were talking about on the being in on the back end, is that I do a lot of organizing and supporting and facilitating. And basically I think of it as being between two sets of relations, one between the larger grad student community and then the grad student committee, and then between the grad student committee and the exec committee for the QRSIG. So we have three different initiatives, the writing, reading, and our newest one, which is a dissertation ABD group, kind of job oriented. And so each of the members facilitate those groups, like a few of them facilitate each of the groups together. And then we've had a speaker event for this first time, which was really awesome. And we're hoping to do that some more. There's going to be a podcast coming out about that. And then we have a meet and greet planned for ARA. So the organizing, supporting, and facilitating of those things are what I do as the chair.
I wish that I could have taken advantage of that when I was a graduate student. I think that sounds really incredible. And it seems like folks are really active and wanting to be involved.
Yes, they are. And the committee is just absolutely wonderful. I also help lead one of the groups, but it is definitely not a one person thing. Like, we are a team and they are so active, involved, and dedicated in creating spaces for community for graduate students. And so it's been really a pleasure to get to work with them.
In thinking about, because our topic today is about mentorship, how do you see your graduate student committee also taking up the practice of mentorship?
Yeah, so I think about the book that you and Dr. Wolgamuth edited, The Philosophical Mentoring and Qualitative Research. There was this general push to disrupt the hierarchical relationship between mentor and mentee, and to think about mentoring as happening not even just between people. I think it was Coker et al. They had the chapter where it was more than human mentors. But so I guess as I'm answering this, I think our experience of mentorship is mostly happening not in the formal professor to student, mentor to mentee codified relationship. It's really student to student in our community groups. And I think that's really important and something that graduate students maybe don't, or maybe not as aware of, that it's not just your professors, especially if they're new graduate students who are or can be in mentoring relationships with you, that you can learn a lot from other graduate students. So yeah, I think that is where we do most of our mentorship experiences are happening student to student.
I love hearing you say that because it makes me think of over the years that I've been on the mentoring committee, I've had a lot of faculty that have communicated how much they really enjoy serving as a mentor, how much they enjoy participating in the mentoring session. because they feel like they learned so much and they take away so much from those engagements. And so I think a lot of times students have a tendency, our grad students have a tendency to think that like they're the ones getting and receiving all of this wonderful knowledge, but really our mentors do as well. And it becomes very reciprocal. So I just loved hearing you talk about that, breaking down the hierarchy and thinking about mentorship in new and different ways.
Yes.
As a current doctoral student, doctoral candidate, what advice do you have for other current graduate students and maybe thinking about that under the topic of mentorship? How would you want to mentor them to move forward and learn?
Yeah, I think my main advice, especially in relation to this topic, would be to really cultivate relationships and various types of relationships, mentoring relationships, like with professors at your school, elsewhere, at conferences. Talk to people after you listen to their presentations. If you have questions or ideas, you know, even email someone after you read their article. If you have a question or a thought and you want to share, just like reach out, I think, because a lot of us are in these roles that we're in as teachers and researchers because these relationships are important to us, and having and communicating about ideas and having the opportunity to mentor and be mentored and for it to be reciprocal, like you said. So I think trying to cultivate in as many places as you can opportunities that are formal and informal for mentoring. Apply to be on committees. Like, I've learned a lot about being a scholar, doing qualitative inquiry as a result of being on the grad committee and learning from other graduates. And then also, because I'm the chair, I'm also on the exec committee. So I've heard a lot. It's helped me understand and imagine what it looks like to be a professor and to be on a committee at ARA and like what that looks like. And then I think, like you said, the reciprocal aspect, we're in this weird liminal spot where we're still students, but soon hopefully they have doctorates and be professors. And so we're learning how to be scholars. And I think that there's like this slide that's always happening between like mentor and mentee, like we're always both. And so I think sharing and learning with humility, knowing that you do have something to share, but that you also always have something to receive, that you're both always mentor and mentee, I think is important in those relationships. Yeah, I guess that's the advice I would offer.
I love that. And I think just having the opportunity to work with you as your one of your professors, and we're getting to co-teach and we gotten to write together. I know that I have learned a tremendous amount from working with you and reading with you and thinking with you. For me, that reciprocity is something that is really fulfilling and sustaining. So I appreciate you very much, Carlson.
I appreciate you too. And I 100% agree. It's a joy. It's a joy to be in these relationships with you. So thank you.
And I appreciate both of you joining us today for this episode. And I think that about wraps up today's episode on mentorship. I know that I've learned a lot, and I really hope that our listeners have too. Well, I'll be completely honest, I'm definitely sold on the mentor program, and I will be signing up. So you've at least convinced me. So congratulations. So just to close out it again, to thank Dr. Kelly Guyot and Carlson Kugler for taking the time out of their busy schedules to join us for today's episode. And until next time, thanks for joining us for Qualitative Conversations.